sit silently and listen to our thoughts.
5:35, 25 before 6. About 2 years ago, at the age of 57, my next guest became one of more than 2 million Canadian men diagnosed with prostate cancer. After he had surgery, after he recovered, he got a few laughs about this, so much so that he wrote a book, pretty funny book, about prostate cancer. Now, it's not a comedy, but he does make light of something that is tremendously serious. Let's get him on the line right now. Gogs Gagnon is the author of Prostate Cancer Strikes, Navigating the Storm. How are you, Gogs?
I'm good. Thank you, Mark. Thank you.
Before we get to the first question about prostate cancer, I know how to pronounce Gagnon. I have never seen that name. Gogs, G-O-G-S. Is that a nickname?
Actually, yes. It's a nickname that I grew up with, and it's a long story. I do mention it in the book that I legally changed my name to an honor a cousin who passed away at an early age.
Oh, got you.
So
okay.
It has a deep-rooted meaning for me.
Okay, absolutely. Okay, Gogs, thank you for that. What was the first thing that went through your mind? You're 57 now, and you go to the doctor, and the doctor says, okay, bend over, do this, do that, do this, do that. Uh-oh, got some bad news for you. What went through your mind?
Well, it was actually a long process where I had my PSA monitored, and it was rising over a period of time, and I had a couple of prostate biopsies before they actually confirmed cancer, and I have to tell you, when I was first diagnosed, it was quite devastating to hear those words, cancer, and I literally thought that I was going to die. I really overreacted looking back on it, but that's how I felt. I felt life was over, and I'm sure probably a lot of people feel that way when they get that kind of diagnosis, so it's very important, I think, for men to realize that if you're ever diagnosed with cancer or any major disease, it's very important to realize that you're probably going to be in a state of shock at the beginning, and you need time just to recover from hearing the news.
What stage did the doctor tell you you were at with your prostate cancer?
Well, the stage that I was at was they measured through also the Gleason score. My Gleason score was 4 + 3 = 7, which indicates a cancer that is growing at a moderate pace. And it was very important at that time to determine if the cancer was contained within the prostate or if it had breached out. So further tests were required. And something I want to kind of point out is it's very important to understand your test results. And at first, it's going to be kind of difficult because all you're going to hear is the word cancer and everything else is going to be a blur. And it would be nice if you could maybe bring someone with you to your appointment so that they could take notes for you and maybe ask questions for you or whatever. But you really need to understand those test results. And most likely, there's going to be follow-up tests that are required. So it's not an immediate thing where, oh, you got cancer, we better do something about it. Well, there's a lot of tests that still need to be done. There's still a lot of questions that need to be answered, and you really need to explore your options and to realize that there's many options available depending on your particular situation.
Yeah, you brought Mary. Mary's your wife?
Yes, yes.
She brought you. Yeah, you were with her the whole time this happened, and you talk about the CT scan and how you had to skip breakfast, she didn't, etc. Yeah. Okay, so how long did it take for you to get a grip on this, that you had cancer, a very serious disease, but you're going to be hell-bent to beat it?
Well, that's a really a tough question. I think it probably took at least a few weeks, you know, before it really sunk in, because yeah, I was at a state where I really didn't believe it, or I thought maybe there was a mistake, maybe my, you know, test got mixed up with some other person, and you're really in this denial state. And you know, at first I really was devastated, and I really didn't even want to talk about it. I didn't want to share. I kind of felt embarrassed, and it was even hard talking about it with my wife. I thought, you know, this is it. I'm done for. You know, I'm a goner. Which, of course, I hope men realize that. You know, they may feel that way at the beginning, but this is just something you need to work through first. And it's very important to get through that before you start to think about what to do about it. Like, you just make sure you get a grasp on your particular situation before you make any rash decisions.
And of course, this affects your family too. Mary and your entire family are now being told that you've got cancer. That can't be easy.
No, that was actually quite difficult, and that was one of the reasons why I didn't want to talk about it. I kind of felt that I was protecting them, you know, in a weird way by not sharing with them what I was feeling and just kind of pretending that it didn't exist, everything was fine, and don't worry about it. But I found, you know, later on that once I kind of accepted it and I started to open up and talk about it, it brought us a lot closer as a family because, you know, I was able to start to share and open up. And I found it very therapeutic, and it's very important to talk about it. And I know at the beginning I certainly didn't want to talk about it, but it was extremely helpful and bonding in a good way. So we're much closer now as a family to be able to share our thoughts of how we're feeling, et cetera.
So tell us what got you on the road to recovery. What was the turning point where you went from despair to positivity and, a thought that, hey, I can beat this?
Well, I never really thought that I could beat it. What I realized was a voice in my head actually told me that I wasn't dead yet and to get up, stop kind of feeling sorry for myself and start to really understand what my test results are. Maybe some of those tests need to be redone. There was further testing to be done. And to realize that there's a lot of options out there. So I started to read. I probably read at least 25 or 30 different books on prostate cancer written by mostly doctors, some by patients. And I started to, the more I learned about it, the more empowered I felt, and the more I was able to accept it and realize, you know, there's a lot of things that I could do about this. And so that was really the turning point, was getting information. I think it's that fear of the unknown that...
Yeah, exactly. So tell me, in what ways has dealing with this changed the way you look at life?
Oh, in a big way, really, because before this happened, I really didn't have any serious health issues before. Now, I did when I was like 12 years old. I didn't realize at the time, you know, I had my appendix rupture when I was 12, and I was in the hospital for 2 months, but I didn't realize how serious it was. But so they really, you know, I'm walking along life, and things are good. I'm healthy and fit, and I'm in the gym, and I would eat, you know, not the healthiest diet, but it didn't seem to bother me. But now I realize that I'm not invulnerable. You know, I'm not. I need to wake up and realize that I'm aging, and I need to take care of myself. So, in a big way, it's changed my mindset, and it's a big reminder that yes, I do need to really take my health into my own hands and do something about it.
If you could, I want to get into the PSA test and how you can help those listening right now, but I'll do that in the second half in just a few moments. We'll go to news, traffic, and weather, and then we'll come back and do that. Actually, well, just one more question, Maddie, before we go, and then we'll just. I just want to know. Is there anything you do differently? Because you talked about earlier, Gags, you talked about how you kind of went into, you know, you kind of curled up in a ball. You said, I can't believe this has happened to me. I think I'm going to die. Change anything, the way you handle things?
Absolutely. I was once asked that question, you know, if I had to do it all over again, is there anything I'd do differently? At first, I didn't think so because, you know, it kind of, everything seemed to work out. But no, when I was honest with myself, I actually probably came up with at least 30 different things that I would do differently that I do talk about in the book. And if there's only one thing I could do differently, and that's right off the bat, I would join a support group right as soon as I was diagnosed. Even before making any decisions, doing any research, I would join that support group. And it's something I didn't do until after my surgery, and I really wish I would have done it before. It's a real bonding experience. At first I thought, you know, I was embarrassed. I didn't want to let anybody know. I didn't want to talk about it. I didn't want anyone feeling sorry for me. But to be in a group of other men, you realize you're not alone. There's a lot of bonding that goes on, and you get to hear their stories and what they've been through, and it's really beneficial. So that's number one thing I would do differently, is join a support group as soon as I heard the word cancer.
That's a very good piece of advice. Hang on to the line, Goggs. We'll come back. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. I want you to give some more advice for people my age, and I should listen up because I still haven't had a prostate test, cancer test, and I got to do that soon before I get some bad news, as Goggs did in 2017. My guest is Goggs Gagneau. He's the author of the book Prostate Cancer Strikes, Navigating the Storm.
It's Mark Brené on CFAX 1070.
Don't want cherries at the bottom of the tree. I want the ones just out of my reach.
5:50, 10 minutes before 6 in 2017. Comox Valley software programmer Goggs Gagneau was diagnosed with prostate cancer. He was one of 21,300 Canadian men to get that jarring news. To him, in seemingly healthy middle age, it was a life-changing bolt from the blue. And that is the foreword, the beginning of the foreword of his book, aptly titled Prostate Cancer Strikes, Navigating the Storm. And there are lightning bolts coming down on the front page. You got a lot of people that really have endorsed this book because they find it informative and actually humorous at times, including Vic Lombardi, who's a big broadcaster down in Denver. How'd you get him on board?
Well, that's quite interesting. I started a couple of social media channels, and I just started to follow a few prostate cancer support groups and organizations, and it was reported that that Vic was diagnosed with prostate cancer, and so I reached out to him, and I introduced myself and told him that I wrote a book, and he said that he would be very interested in reading it, so I arranged for the publisher to send him a copy, and he responded quick, and I was quite surprised. When I sent him the message, I didn't really expect, you know, to get an answer, but he was very open and very happy to read it.
Yeah, the guy's like the big-time broadcaster down in Colorado. Is he related to Vince Lombardi, or just it's a more common name than I thought? Vic, Vince, right? Lombardi?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, me neither. Anyway, okay, let's tell our listeners about the PSA test, which some provinces, I'm not sure if they do here in BC, but some provinces actually fund free of charge.
That's correct. Now, it's very important to realize that the PSA test cannot detect prostate cancer. But what it does do is it detects the level of PSA in your bloodstream. And the higher the reading, then it means that there may be something wrong. It doesn't necessarily mean you have cancer. It might mean further tests are required. The only way to confirm cancer is through a prostate biopsy, and I wouldn't want anyone to get a prostate biopsy unless they really need to. Now, just because you have a high PSA, that doesn't necessarily mean you have cancer. It could mean that you've had recent sexual activity, or maybe you've got some kind of infection, urinary tract infection. So the PSA test is really something that you need to, if you never had one, have one, and then whatever the number is, that's going to be your baseline. And then what you want to do is you want to have another one, like only once a year, and you just need to monitor it to that baseline. And if it goes up, you know, it might go down, and if it continues to go up over time, then that's a problem that you do need to address. But you may find that whatever your baseline is, if it just stays there consistently, maybe it goes up a little bit, down a little bit, then you really don't have anything to worry about. In my case, my PSA was monitored for 5 years, and I had it measured 14 times, but unfortunately, every time I had it measured, it was up.
Right.
So that was more, I had more of a reason to have that prostate biopsy, because of all those readings. So I wouldn't want anyone to panic just because they have a high reading. You know, if they only had one reading, then that's really not enough to make any rash decision.
Right. Well, I'm going to go in the next couple of weeks. I keep saying that, but this time I'm actually serious, because there keeps being signs that are telling me, including talking to you today, that I got to do this at the age of 54. So you're saying, like, so how does it work now? You go in for one, and then you say, you should go in there at least another time that same year?
Well, once a year is normally good enough. Unless you have a high reading,
yeah.
Then what you'll want to do is you'll probably want to have another reading in maybe 3 months. you know, give it a couple of months. And before, maybe a week or two before the test, you want to make sure you refrain from sexual activity and just to kind of rule that out.
Rule out sexual activity?
Well, for at least a week, if you can.
Oh, I can handle that.
Because that is one of the reasons why the PSA does go up. But naturally, as men age, the prostate normally will also enlarge. And the larger the prostate, the more PSA it will produce.
How big is the prostate? Is it the size of like a walnut?
Well, in a normal person, yes, about a walnut. Probably in your teenager's years, under 20, it's probably a walnut. But typically after that, it starts to grow. Not everybody, but in my case, mine actually was huge. My doctor told me it was the largest prostate he's ever seen.
Is that right? You're in the medical books. Congratulations.
Yes, I was thinking, well, it's really not. He called it impressive, and I kind of laughed, and I thought it's really not a body part to use to impress other people. But
right.
Yeah, so seriously, though, you get a baseline, and then you just continue to monitor after that.
Well, listen, we got to go. I'm looking at the clock, unfortunately. We got to go. You've got a lot of attention from not just here, but in the United States and overseas on this book. Congratulations to you for that.
Thank you. Where
can people find more info about this book?
Well, I do have a website, gogscanyon.com, and I have a lot of information about the book there, and I also have a YouTube channel as well. And the book is available it's online, and it's also in your local bookstore. And if you don't see it, you can ask for it, and they can get a copy.
Well, congrats on this, and more importantly, congrats on how you've turned the corner on a very serious malady, prostate cancer. And you've given us all some good advice. Thank you for this. Thanks, Gogs.
Thank you very much.
Salut. Gogs Gagnon is the author of Prostate Cancer Strikes, Navigating the Storm. Granville Island Publishing. Check out the bookstores. 5:56 and change. I have in my hands, my hot little hands, tickets to give away right now. 4 tickets to see the Victoria Harbor Cats home opener June 7th. Harbor Cats will host the Corvallis Knights from Oregon. It's a 6:35 start, not this Friday, but the following Friday. It's a 4-pack of tickets to see the Harbor Cats. Call our number 7 at 250-386-1161 or hands-free at *1070. Caller number 7. That is our time for today. Thank you so much for listening, for calling, emailing, and texting. Thanks to all our guests. My thanks as well to technical producer and traffic reporter Matt Hyland. My name is Mark Brené. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. And as always, enjoy beautiful Victoria.